Our gospel reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person.' And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." He also said to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." In the name of Jesus, amen. I'd like to read this to you. It's titled, "The Brick." A young, successful executive was traveling down a neighborhood street in his new Jaguar. He was watching for kids darting out from between parked cars and slowed down when he thought he saw something. As his car passed, no children appeared. Instead, a brick smashed into the Jag's side door. He slammed on the brakes and backed up to the spot. The angry driver then jumped out of the car, grabbed the nearest kid, and shouted, "What was that all about, and who are you? Just what are you doing? That's a new car, and that brick you threw is going to cost a lot of money. Why did you do it?" With tears dripping down his face and off his chin, the boy pointed to a spot just around a parked car. "It's my brother," he said. "He rolled off the curb and fell out of his wheelchair, and I can't lift him up." Now sobbing, the boy asked the stunned executive, "Would you please help me get him back into his wheelchair? He's hurt, and he's too heavy for me." Moved beyond words, the driver tried to swallow the rapidly swelling lump in his throat. He hurriedly lifted the handicapped boy back into the wheelchair, then took out a linen handkerchief and dabbed at the fresh scrapes and cuts. A quick look told him everything was going to be okay. "Thank you, and may God bless you," the grateful child told the stranger. Too shook up for words, the man simply watched the boy push his wheelchair-bound brother down the sidewalk toward their home. It was a long, slow walk back to the Jaguar. The damage was very noticeable, but the driver never bothered to repair the dented side door. He kept the dent there to remind him of this message: sometimes a brick needs to get your attention to show mercy. To show mercy. It's not easy to show mercy. It's not easy to have an attitude of mercy. And yet our message this morning is titled, "An Attitude of Mercy." And in a sense, Jesus has to throw a spiritual brick at a bunch of people at a banquet to help them understand what it means to show mercy to others, because they're struggling with mercy. In fact, they have limited in all kinds of ways how they can show mercy to others. And Jesus has to take them to task. It's a big deal. It's a big meal. Pharisees, lawyers are there, and there's a guy that has dropsy. Dropsy, what in the world is that? It has to do with the body accumulating water. not sure if he had a heart condition or something was going on with his lungs, had lung cancer. But when the body fills up with water, it makes it harder and harder to even take a breath. Could be pneumonia, we don't know. He was in need of healing, but it was a Sabbath day. And according to the practices of the people in that day, there would be no lawful healing done on a Sabbath for the fear of violating God's law of keeping the Sabbath. And so Jesus has to address this to the whole crowd of people there with this man who is struggling for every breath that he takes. And he heals him. But keep in mind what's going on in Jesus' day. If you think about a continuum of lawlessness, anything goes, do whatever I want, I don't care what's going on, and legalism, the world that Jesus was operating in at that time was more legalistic than lawless, anything goes. Now, it's crazy how societies bounce back and forth about those things. In Jeremiah's day, the church was more lawless than legalistic. Anything goes, we can do anything we want, we're still loved by God. And the legalism is, if you don't do everything right, you're not going to be acceptable to God. And so in Jesus' day, they're really concerned about how they can have favor with God. And Jesus' ministry, throughout the course of his ministry, would be to deal with that kind of attitude about how one's relationship is right with God. Jesus and Christ alone, in what he did, would make everything right for us all. So we're neither lawless or legalistic. We're trusting in the gospel, trusting in what Christ did for sinners. That's what saves us from ourselves, from the unbelieving world, and the deceptions of the devil. And yet today, we need to consider this reading and the importance of understanding mercy. Mercy. We're living in a time right now where there can be so many pressures on us. We can be so quick to judgment. We can be so quick to condemning. We can even judge and condemn ourselves. And with all the political things going on and all the international things going on, we have a lot of things we're dealing with, a lot on our plate. And yet the truth remains, attitudes of judgment, superiority, and even despair abound in and around us. I mean, we can go from being very judgmental to giving up on ourselves, not even extending mercy to ourselves. And so, how do we establish an attitude of mercy? Well, quite frankly, we can't. The opinion of the law operates in us all. So, an attitude of mercy first has to come to us and then work in us to then work through us so that we can extend mercy to others as well. So, where does that attitude of mercy come from? Where does it originate? It originates in God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God's attitude of mercy is Jesus, not treating us as our sins deserve, not giving us what we deserve, actually taking what we deserve upon himself, so that now, for Christ's sake, we are the objects of God's mercy. Mercy, where we're not treated as we deserve. And also the objects of God's grace, where God gives us what we don't deserve. In so many ways, across the spectrum of our lives, clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, family and friends, a sunshine, even rain. Thank the Lord for rain. All the ways that God blesses us with his grace and his mercy, so that we can learn then to extend mercy to others who don't deserve it either. And it's really not our mercy that we're sharing with others. In the mercy that God gives to us through his Son, we are in turn learning in that mercy how to share that mercy with others. Where are you struggling at sharing that mercy? Where am I? And what do we need? The reminder of God's mercy toward us. Not being treated as our sins deserve, but loved unconditionally by God for the sake of his son, Jesus. You know, mercy is not being treated the way that we deserve. I mean, how many ways has that touched your life across your life? How many ways have you been blessed by God's mercy every day throughout this year so far? Going back through 2021, 2020, 2019. For some of us, many years. For some, not so many. And yet, God's mercy, just the same. Where God loves us. Where God shows mercy upon us and welcomes us into his family. I mean, we're the poor. We're the crippled. We're the spiritually lame. We're the spiritually blind. We're the ones that he has brought into his feast, where we can taste and see that the Lord is good, where we can celebrate the good news that we can stand before God right now knowing that we're loved fully and that he's in love with us, head over heels, caring for us. Not that we deserve it, but we get it because of what Jesus did in our place. And maybe the brick hurts a little bit, but it certainly is a reminder of what it means to be the objects of God's mercy in Jesus. And yet we live in a world that's so filled with judgment. So many drawing conclusions. Maybe, rightfully so, maybe jumping to conclusions. How many ways do you and I live every day having to assess things, making judgment calls? How often do we find ourselves in those judgments doing one more thing? How can I extend mercy? How can I be merciful? We have all kinds of opportunities. All we have to do is watch the news and then pray God's mercy on various people. All we have to do is hear what's going on in all levels of government and realize we need God's mercy. And the good news is that that's mercy that we have. And it's mercy that we can share. Not that it'll always be easy when we ourselves want justice or want to have something over and against another. But may we all repent of that and trust in what God has done for people who don't deserve any mercy at all. May we celebrate in what God has done through his Son. You know, so mercy is something that comes to us, works in us, works through us. It's also something we need to be renewed in over and over and over again. That's why we gather here. That's why we taste and see that the Lord is good, so that we can be revived in an attitude of mercy, so that we can scatter back into our lives of witness and service with an attitude of mercy, so that we can face our own challenges being merciful to ourselves and then asking God for mercy for the things we deal with. Because mercy starts at home, but it doesn't stay here. It's extended to those around us. You wonder how people responded to Jesus at that big celebration. Whatever it was, all the top people were invited. Some others got in the way they did meals then. How did they respond to this? What did the one in charge of the dinner think when Jesus said, hey, invite the... Well, it doesn't matter because it's now about you and me and how we decide to work with others. Dare we become exclusive, tribal, or should we look at everyone as we look at ourselves, people who need mercy, people to extend mercy to? Because of Jesus, we can. And as we think about this, as we hear our songs, as we hear our scriptures, as we talk with one another, God gathers us often so that we can be renewed in our minds, so that our lives can be different. And again, God gathers us here once again today for that same thing. Let's read how that works. This is Paul writing to the church in Rome, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Let's read it together. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So your worship and my worship every day is to present ourselves to God. Because of his mercy, we don't have to kill ourselves. We can live and we can serve the Lord in our thoughts, words, and actions. Paul goes on together. Let's read. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable and perfect. So this is what God has in store for us as we consider the mercy he has for us, so that we can think about our lives, so that we can carry out our thoughts and our words and our actions in ways that can extend that mercy. It starts here with us, and then we extend it as we scatter through this week in our lives of witness and service. Thank God for a solid attitude of mercy from God. God's attitude is always the same because of Christ. It's a great attitude. And ours, well, ours goes up and down. But may the constant attitude of God through his Son, an attitude of mercy toward you and me, be the foundation that we work from and live from and take comfort in and share with others. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.